Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
You call yourself a spiritual activator. Can you enlighten us and explain it?
Everybody comes into this world with an ability, a gift, to tap into what is beyond our five senses.
I know from like reading your website that there is this trigger word maybe of crazy.
Why do people label others that? The crazy is that there wasn't enough love and support and understanding.
In your experience, what do you think happens after death?
I was clinically dead for 11 minutes. And in that space, I was part of everything in creation.
What is your personal mission?
To help people to recognize their own power.
We have these patterns or these traumas. Is there a way to break that cycle?
Yes, there is a way to break it.
What if the answers you've been searching for aren't really out there, but they're deep inside of you, waiting to be remembered? Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel, I'm joined by someone who doesn't just read energy, she moves it. Jana Stern is a psychic, an intuitive guide, a spiritual activator who's built a reputation for cracking people open, not with shock or spectacle, but with truth. She's helped people navigate grief, rebirth, heartbreak, awakening, and she does it by tuning into the unseen. Some people call it energy, some call it intuition. Some don't believe in it at all, but no matter where you stand, Jana's work invites you to stop living on autopilot and start listening to your body, your patterns, your purpose, your past lives, your higher self. We talk about how she first discovered her gifts, what it's like to really see and feel things others can't, and what she wants skeptics to understand. We also go deep into astrology, timelines, shadow work, and how to live a life more aligned with who you really are. You don't have to believe in everything to feel something, and you don't have to be lost to want to be seen. Please enjoy my conversation with Jana Stern. Jana, so thank you so much for joining us today on Misunderstood. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you based?
I am in Toronto, so north of you guys, but I would like to be anywhere but in North America, I think.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to talk to you. You call yourself a spiritual activator, which I thought was a very cool term. For those of us that do not know what that means, can you enlighten us and explain it?
Yeah. So I'm a psychic and an astrologer. And a lot of what I do is look into people's blind spots. So the things that you can't see in your own way of being are obvious to me. And when I point them out, they tend to have people go, oh my God. And the mind blows and something activates. And so in that way, I've woken people up out of sleeps, out of sort of like these comatose states of like, well, of course you're behaving this way. Of course, these cycles are repeating. Of course, you're experiencing the same old in everything you do, because there's something in your blind spot that you haven't seen that's very obvious to me.
So, wow. Okay. But when in your life did you even realize that you had this skill?
So I was always gifted. I was always a gifted child. I was a kid who could talk to crystals and they would sing me songs and tell me stories. And then as I got older, I was the kid who was like, you know, 7 years old, and my friends would have boyfriends and they'd ask me for advice. And then all through high school, it was the same kind of thing. And they would be like, can you write down whatever it is that you just said? And it was always like that. I always sort of had, my mom would say, the gift of gab. But I started to really realize that it was a real gift as I got older. My biological father is schizophrenic. And so, you know, hearing voices as a child was a terrifying thought, because one sort of equaled the other.
Right.
And it took a lot of time and work for me to detach those things and separate them. And then, you know, I went through what I call the forgetting I had a eating disorder just to sort of suppress and starve the voice, starve the part of me that was aching to just let it be normal that I could hear these voices. And it led to a suicide attempt. And after my attempt, when I returned, it was like, I chose to come back. And it was very clear that the gift that I had been given was truly a gift. And it had amplified into mediumship, being able to communicate with the other side, connecting with people even more deeply on an even more, intense level. And then I started studying metaphysics and getting deeper into astrology. And so it really led to this way of being that just sort of activates people just by kind of being around them. And so that's how I created the title for myself over these years.
So based on what you just said, I feel like there's a lot to unpack there, because I know from like reading your website that there is this trigger word maybe of crazy. And that is something that, you know, as a child and growing up, how much of that were you trying to stifle? How much of that did you feel like you were crazy until you decided to realize your normal was what it is now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy was the word exactly. When I was a child, I remember somebody calling me that at camp one summer, and I was like, well, I'll show you crazy. Mm-hmm. I lost it because it was I couldn't even hear it, that word crazy. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I started to embrace it, what does it mean? Why do people label others that? Mm-hmm. And what is the system that's built around crazy, right? How do we siphon people into buckets of instability, and why? Who profits? What do we gain from somebody being othered in that way? And also, what are those people's gifts? Because I don't know a single quote crazy person that isn't incredibly psychically gifted in one way or another, including my father. And so the more that I kind of tapped into that, the more that I started to recognize the crazy is that there wasn't enough love and support and understanding and interpretation and space given and all of the things that now we have the language for, right? We're in a different reality. When I had my attempt almost 18 years ago, that version of reality was you could not talk about mental health. You could not. Right. I didn't tell people that I was going into treatment. I just kind of quietly went into the shadows. But I had to really let myself kind of cloak myself in crazy. And so I did. I spent years in therapy, and you know, I was very fortunate. My mom and my dad, my stepdad, you know, and my grandparents supported me so that I could go through that treatment process and be with all these therapists and also do all this metaphysical healing and spiritual stuff. And as I was doing all of it, I was like, oh, this spiritual stuff really explains where the missing pieces are in all of the people who are unwell. And then what do they do to cope with it? Well, they get addictions. They go on their meds, they go off their meds. They do this, they do that, right? And it's just this cycle because the world has said, you got to be like this to be normal. Mm-hmm. But as we wake up to that there is nothing normal, we start to, you know, live a different life.
But what would you say for people listening that don't get it or don't believe? Like, you talked about hearing voices when you were younger, but your father being diagnosed as a schizophrenic. So like, where do you draw the line between what you might define as intuition and communicating with the other side or hearing voices and being sick and somebody who's hearing voices because they're clinically sick with schizophrenia?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. Firstly, watch children. Watch the children, their imaginary friends, the way that they connect with the flowers and will talk to them, the way that they tap in with everything around them in a way that feels quite magical. That's intuition. We shut that down categorically over time. And sometimes traumas and experiences make that shutting down seem more manic or more paranoid or more sort of far out there, so to speak. But it's my belief that everybody comes into this world with an ability, a gift, to tap into what is beyond our five senses. And I teach on this. I have a whole course on my site called, can I swear?
Yeah.
It's called Own Your Fucking Intuition. And it teaches you about the clairsenses and the different ways that you can tap in to how you hear, how you listen, how do you receive, right? Some people get a sense of smell. They smell the laundry, fresh laundry, but there's no fresh laundry. Mm-hmm. That's spirit delivering a message. Some people have a knowingness, just this gut feeling, right? Others have an inner listening, which is what I have, clairaudience. Mm-hmm. Some people have clairvoyance. They can see, they get a flash of the future. They get a flash of something, or can even see your ancestors, your deceased loved ones behind you. And I have friends like this all across the spectrum, but we all have these gifts. We all have these abilities. And then systematically over time, we forget. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of watch it from kids who are about 8 to about 14. They start to behave differently. They start to shut down parts of themselves because societally, right, they don't want to be different. They don't want to be other. They don't want to be crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they shut down the gifts, and our parents are the first ones to say, no, not like that. Don't do this. It's not on purpose.
Yeah.
But the more that that happens, and then of course, the more traumas that happen, right? When we lose a loved one very young, when we have, you know, physical traumas, if we're in big car accidents, if sexual abuse happens, any of these kinds of things, those can affect how a person feels more crazy. And then as they get older, that manifests into something that is far more difficult to sort of reel back in into a level of stability, you know?
Right. Right. So explain this to me, because I think, you know, I've had a couple of people on my show that are psychics, or, you know, say that they believe in ghosts, they can talk to dead people, whatever. I think the biggest question for me, maybe for some listeners too, is that, you know, I think there are people that do want to believe, but what is the difference between sort of having, hearing your intuition and knowing that it is intuition, or it is, you know, being able to see or hear, or it's like manifesting? Do you know what I mean? Like, you could sit there and manifest like, oh, I want to hear my fiance that died. I want to hear my father that died. And then you like make up in your brain a conversation. How do you know when you're just creating a false narrative, or when it's something that's coming to you?
Yeah, I love that question. First of all, whenever this kind of question comes along, I always want to quote Dumbledore, who says, of course it's happening in your mind, Harry, but does that make it not real?
Hmm.
Right?
I love that quote.
Everything, I think he says, but does that mean it isn't real? Everything in our reality is make-believe in our mind. Everything. We are reformulating atoms so that everything will look the way that we need it to look in our realities every single day that we wake up. We are, you know, creating with our minds constantly, and we can manifest anything. And that power is awakening within us in this really, really, really potent way right now. And so you kind of got to lean into that crazy. You a little bit need to say to yourself, if I'm manifesting that he's coming through, then isn't he coming through because something in my reality is needing him to be here?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, one of the things that I often say to people when they lose loved ones is that you can ask for specific signs. You can ask for very, very specific things, and spirit will always give you exactly what you're asking for. So let's say, for example, that you want to be seeing white feathers. That's your agreement with whomever has passed. You will continue to see white feathers. You will see them all over the place, but you'll see one coming out of your pillow and you'll be like, oh, that doesn't count. It's coming out of the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
But it is absolutely exactly what you asked for. Or you'll see one painted on the side of a building and you're like, ah, that's not a real feather, but it's exactly what you've asked for. Right. And a lot of this game is like, it's just a trust game with the universe. Can you trust that what is being given to you is being given to you on purpose for you, because that's what you asked for.
Right. Like believing in the signs.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. And what is your thought about dreams? You know, people can say in their dreams, it was just a dream. They can look up all sorts of things on the internet about what it means if you're in a plane or underwater or being visited by your loved one. What's your thought on dreams?
Yeah. So a visit is a visit. When somebody who has passed comes into a dream, that is them either delivering a message or just coming to say, hi, I miss you too. And it's just different in this realm. Where I am now, I'm able to see and feel you, but you think I can't. So I'm coming to visit to remind you that I can. Mm. And that's true every single time.
But what if it's more confusing than that? I mean,
give me an example.
Like, okay, so for me, my fiance was killed when I was 26. I remember years later, and I can't even remember if it was last year or if it was like 2 years after. So my mind is not clear on that. But okay. I remember having a dream where I must have, and I don't really remember the details so much, but something along the lines of he was not dead. He was just somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, I woke up thinking that I had just dreamt that he wasn't dead and had chosen to just disappear. Mm. That was what I got out of it. Hearing me actually say that now, where I said he wasn't dead, he's still there. Now I'm thinking maybe that just meant he's not dead and he's still with me somehow. But I woke up with the feeling that the death didn't really happen and he was out there somewhere choosing to be with someone else or whatever. I mean, it was an unsettling feeling when I woke up.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so then I would ask, where in your life does that manifest over and over and over again, right? That lack of trust in your own worthiness, your own deserving, the he's going to leave me feeling.
Right. Well, I spent 15 years. Yeah. I mean, I spent years feeling that way. So yes, I get that. That totally would make sense for sure.
Right.
I just think it's fascinating. So you're saying dreams can be dreams, but if they're visiting you, that take it as more serious.
Yeah. Like there's always the dreams are there for us to guide us because there's a lot going on in our subconscious that we are never aware of. Right. Mm. And so the dream state is the time where your subconscious can let things arise and come up that you otherwise would not tap into. Mm-hmm. And I think that to literally every single detail of your dreams, there is an interpretation, there is a deeper meaning, just like there is a deeper meaning to literally the feather coming out of your pillow.
Right.
There is something that we are creating constantly when we, when we really, really understand how much power we have to create as creator gods, mm-hmm. when we really deeply understand this, we would change everything about our reality, what we say, how we say it, the way that we speak, the way that we think even. It's all happening up here, everything.
Right.
And so when we go into dream states, even something like, okay, you've dreamt of, I don't know, you know, you lost your legs. Well, go look up what that means. You're losing your grounding. You're not feeling stabilized. You're not feeling supported by the earth, by the things around you. What needs to change in your life, in the way that you relate to yourself, in the way that you relate to others? Who needs to go? Who needs to come closer? Who needs to be a little bit further away? What are the new agreements you need to make, the new boundaries that you need to set to feel like you have your footing again, right? Mm-hmm. Everything has meaning like that. Absolutely everything, especially in dream time.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Yeah. What would you say to people that have lost someone and are dying to reconnect and are looking for signs everywhere, but do not feel like they're getting any sort of connection or signs? I'll never forget, I had somebody come on to talk about ketamine therapy for PTSD. And he was talking about one time, and it really made him cry, remembering this woman who would come into his office and say she lost her son and she could not get over it. And she was looking for all sorts of signs and wanted to just feel him again and couldn't. And that's what led her to going to this guy's office and trying to see if she could do ketamine for therapy to get into a state where she could connect with him. And it was such a powerful thing for him to relive, which just makes me think about what would you say to people that are having a hard time connecting?
A couple things. Get really, really, really specific. What is the sign? Be specific. Mm-hmm. Spirit is very, very, very accurate. The best way, for always the easiest way, the first way that the universe speaks to us is through numbers. So when you see 1111, don't dismiss it. If you keep seeing 482 over and over and over again, it's not an accident. This is not a coincidence. There is no such thing. Look into what does 482 represent? 4 is stability and structure. 8 is the amplification of that. 2 is partnership. So get into that, what that means, right? And I'm just using the examples of what's coming out of me right now, but get very specific. And so let's say that the symbolism that you're looking for, the thing that you're calling in, is ladybugs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because many people connect with ladybugs in that way, or butterflies. There's dozens of different kinds of signs, coins, feathers, et cetera, et cetera. But let's use ladybugs as an example.
Okay.
Buy yourself a ladybug and put it on what you might call an altar. Put it on a place in your room. Maybe it's beside your bed. Maybe it's at the front door. Maybe it's in a place where this person spent a lot of time. You know, if you had a loved one who had a particular chair and you've kept the chair, well, maybe the ladybug lives on the chair. It's a stuffed ladybug, whatever it might be, make it meaningful. And then light a candle and speak to that loved one. And if you can, look at their photo and say, this is you, and I would like you to show yourself this way to me. And then observe how many times ladybugs come across your field, not necessarily in ladybug form, but maybe it's that you see a woman in a red dress with black polka dots. And then the first thing you need to do is say, thank you. Even if you don't think it's exactly the message that you think you're supposed to get, just say thank you. And then notice what thoughts you were thinking beforehand. Where was your mind drifting? Where were you wandering to? Because there are loops that we go on. And when spirit crosses, it's always to guide us to better places. It's always to help us to ascend in this lifetime to where we need to be. And, you know, we've seen a lot of death. We've come to understand death very differently in the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. And as we have, it's very important that we understand that those who cross over are crossing for our greatest good here in physical reality. And so tune in. What thoughts were you thinking? What were you obsessing about? What were you musing on? And how can you then take the message from spirit that showed up exactly at that time for you because you asked for it? Thank you. What do I need to do now? What do I need to change? What do I need to shift? Even just one fraction of a percent in the direction of the person I want to be, the way that I want to feel, the relationships I want to have, the kind of career I want to have, right? Mm-hmm. All of these things are possible in this lifetime, and we're moving that way consciously. We can feel it, right? We're evolving. And as mm-hmm. we do, we need to like dial into the minutia, into these teeny tiny little things, you know?
Do you believe in fate and destiny?
Yes, but I also believe in free will.
Okay. But do you think it'll always, no matter what you choose, it'll bring you back to where you were supposed to be? Yes. Or who you were supposed to be with? Or if somebody dies because they were hit by a car or from cancer or at 104 years old, was that always how they were going to die?
I think that we, in our lifetimes, we experience moments where you have choice, mm-hmm. right? And choices matter, right? The kinds of food you eat, the way you treat your body, the way you do, you know, how many times you microwave your food, those things are going to result in, those are choices that might lead to cancer, okay. right? And so if you make a lot of choices that are not good for you, it will lead to the thing that, yes, will have your fate be that you die of cancer. And also, there are many choices that you can make along the way that would prevent it. But either way, we're all going to die.
Right.
So how you get there is really about the choices that you make. And it's also about what those around you are needing. Sometimes, like when young kids pass, that's the hardest. It's the worst. Mm-hmm. When parents should never bury their children. Mm-hmm. But when they do, it's always fascinating to me to see how those parents display their human resilience to continue on and be better people in the world, show up for others, you know, give, be more generous. It's fascinating. I don't know a single person who's lost a child that isn't of generous spirit, that has shut down and just become reclusive and terrible. Like, they all just open their hearts up to like more love can come through, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So in your experience, what do you think happens after death? And what do you think these spirits are all about?
Yeah. I always say it's like your biggest sneeze. You just kind of go into the everything. The closest way that I can describe it is through the lens of spirit. And as I experienced it during my attempt, I was clinically dead for 11 minutes and they brought me back. And in that space, everything was very expansive. So I was part of everything in creation on this earth. And
meaning how, sorry to interrupt you, but like from a feeling, from a visual standpoint, or you just woke up feeling that?
I was conscientious of it when I came back into my body, that the feeling that I had felt, the experience that I had experienced, was that I was literally connected to everything, to trees, to animals, to water, to earth, to all humans, to everything. Ask me your question one more time.
I was saying, I was talking about death and experiencing death.
Yes. Okay. So the closest I can describe it is, to spirit, we are like ants, and they can see us going about our lives. And ants are incredibly busy. They have big work to do. They have these big communities that they have to build, and they got to carry this big thing on their back from all across the room. And it can take all day to get to where they need to be. And that's their job. That's what they do. And now if you, Rachel, come over and you pick that ant up and you move it outside off of its path because something, you know, the cat was going to come and get it or whatever was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You were saving its life, but it's going to be like, hello, I was on a mission. I had things to do, right? And spirit mm-hmm. relates with us in a very similar way. They are bigger. They're in the sneeze. They're in the out of the physical. They're not stuck trapped in a body. They are everywhere all the time. So when you have that feeling of like, oh, I really wish that they were here. They are. Mm-hmm. They always, always are. And oftentimes when you get rerouted on your path for one reason or another, when something comes up that you're like, oh my God, really? You know, there's like a breakup or there's some kind of trauma or you lose another loved one. It's always guiding you, always shaping you. And you're like, hey, I was on a mission. And spirit is intervening to be like, no, actually, I was saving your life. Right?
Right. And do you believe that there are bad spirits, or what are your thoughts on that?
So I believe that there are entities on this planet that are of a lower vibration that bring our vibration down. But everything is frequency. And I believe everything can be, and I believe that, like, even though there are negative or sort of lower vibrational entities, I believe that we can keep our vibration high by staying in alignment and in tune with ourselves. That doesn't mean that we won't necessarily flirt with some of those things. And I believe that there are certain norms in society, drinking in particular, like letting in spirits through alcohol, that absolutely plays a role in how much you dance with those lower vibrational entities. And there are certainly powers that be that know that, that make those kinds of things not only legal, but also quite, you know, pushed on us. And they know that people can get into, you know, alcoholism and drug addiction and things like that. And these are billions and billions of dollars, you know, get poured into these industries so that we will stay in the forgetting, so that we will not know how powerful we are and that we can create from a higher vibration. But the low vibrational things can keep us dragged in. And, like, you know, there's all kinds of other addictive behaviors, scrolling on your phone too much, not dialing in with your own energy, blah, 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 what you eat, et cetera, et cetera. You are what you consume.
Right. I'm curious about what your, we used the word reality before, what your reality is. Like, we as listeners, or me talking to you, I know what mine is. I don't feel like I have a lot of external things going on, but for you, do you, are you waking up and hearing voices? Are you having conversations with people at the grocery store and, you know, someone is trying to speak to them through you? Like, how, what is your day like?
I had to draw a lot of boundaries of spirit around that one. Cause it did, it was that way for a really long time. Actually, I used to read people on the street. I used to carry a deck of cards with me in my purse. And when spirit would come up and sort of, I used to say it would plug into me like a switchboard. Mm-hmm. I would just, I'd be like, hey, this is weird. Can I read your cards? And they would say yes. And then next thing I know, they'd be crying on the street. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do here. So that got to be really invasive. And so I had to draw some boundaries and be like, I'm actually not going to do this unless there's consent on both ends. And I got to have some energetic hygiene around this and take care of myself so that I'm not actually leaning into what becomes serious mental illness of, you know, what my father looks like, which is totally schizophrenic, talking to himself on the street, you know, literally just in his own world, in his own mind. A lot of my personal practice, a lot of my reality looks like grounding. It looks like trying to just be in my body, in my vessel, in my reality, in what's happening, present to now, present to the emotion, present to, you know, the voices as I hear them, and then calibrating. How much of this is necessary to get lost in? Because it's very easy for me to get lost in it. How much of it is, how much of it do I need to like sit and absorb? And how much of it do I need to kind of be like, thank you, I will return to this when I have the space and time for it. And spirit and I have a nice agreement. We're good. So I'm not, you know, in the grocery store assaulting people and being like, hey, but, sometimes it can get very disruptive. And there have definitely been times in my life where I've been disrupted for sure. Yeah.
So it's interesting. You call it spirit as opposed to spirits, I noticed. So do you feel like it's, is it one entity that speaks to everyone? When you say spirits, is it different? What would be speaking to me versus speaking to, you know, whoever you're talking to in the grocery store?
Yeah. Like, I mean, so the way that I relate to it is like spirit, the entity of what we others might call God, God is the everything. And when you're sort of out in the sneeze, you are with God and you are with everything. And as people come through specifically in a spirit, specific, then, like I say, it's like they become the sort of fiber optic cable that plugs into me. And then it's specifically that message that's coming through.
I see. Yeah. Wait, I'm really curious because, you know, I was just driving through parts of Florida and I used to live in New York City, and mm-hmm. on every corner of New York City, there's a tarot reader or, astrologist. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, these people are full of shit. I've had Oz Perlman on my show, who's a mentalist. And we talked about the difference between mentalism and people who are psychics. And why couldn't they just tell me what the lotto numbers were going to be or who was going to become president or, all sorts of things like that. Mm. And he voiced, and I'm not going to say it exactly how he said it, but that a lot of those people were full of shit. And a lot of those people, he wasn't saying everybody, but he believed that it was based on knowing how to read somebody. As a mentalist, he knows how to read people so well, or be able to manipulate their reactions or their answers so much that he knows how to get to the end result. So he's able to turn a card because he made them get to that point without them realizing it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I do.
So I'm just curious, who are all these people that are pretending, but they still do a really good job of manipulating? How do they do that?
So when you're able to be in what is in present, which is all that there is, right? So you're not future predicting and you're not reading the past, but you're in here and now, mm-hmm. you can easily discern what somebody else might be going through, and to tap into that and be like, what do they need? The cards will come through exactly as they need to. The astrology will always guide, for you to know what you need to know. And so much of what I do is about understanding that I am me and you are you, and there's a difference. And I don't actually want to be in your energy. I want to be in my energy. Mm-hmm. And where the people who are full of shit come in is they're usually pushing themselves into you.
Mm.
And like he said, manipulating.
Right.
I don't have that interest really. Maybe on some unconscious level I do, but I don't think consciously I do at all.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your personal life. Are you married? Are you dating?
I am recently single.
Okay. So does this lifestyle cause problems in your relationship if that person is not, familiar with what it is that you do or specialize in?
I think in the past it's been, I was very fortunate that I've dated a few people who have loved ones who have crossed over, and they've been very open to the fact that I can very much hear them. And it makes things interesting and sometimes quite complicated, because when you really love a person, you want to give them everything that their loved ones want them to have. And sometimes it's just not your job to give them that. And those lines can be very blurry. And also, I have quite a bit of my own experiences and traumas in this lifetime that have me show up a particular way.
Right.
As I'm real fresh in this singlehood. So as I'm processing it, I think, it must play a role. It must be difficult to date somebody like me. You certainly can't lie to me. I'm gonna know.
I'm just curious of when you fight, you end a relationship, if they're like, oh, whatever, you're nothing but crazy. Or do you know what I mean? Do they use it in a way that's hurtful?
It has been used in hurtful ways in the past, but also I know that that is a projection and a disconnection from connecting to your own capacity, your own gifts. Pretty much any time that anybody, past lovers or boyfriends have been sort of vindictive in that way, it always comes from an inner self that doesn't want to be addressed.
Yeah.
Which I often highlight in that spiritual activator kind of way, even if I don't mean to. It's, you know, so that's a challenge. But I'm also, I should say, incredibly fortunate because most of the people that I've dated in my life are still people that I have in my world that I am connected to in some meaningful way, that I'm still friends with, you know, that I can rely upon. So I think it's a mix, you know. I'm the gift is a gift until you don't want to accept the gift, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Also, I want to clarify for listeners, how do you differentiate between psychic and the astrology portion of it and the tarot card reading and then the hearing of spirit? You know, I know people that are just astrologers. One of my best friends is just an astrologer. She does really well at that. Cool. I don't get it. I love her. I think she's crazy because I have no idea what she's talking about. She is always talking about transfers and this and that. And she talks transit. So there you go. I have no idea. Yeah. And I have no idea what she's ever saying. And not only that, I just got engaged recently and I had only, thank you. And I had only dated the guy for 8 months. So before this, every time I went on a date, she would do some reading or she'd call me and say, oh, I need to know his birthday. And oh, you know, the signs are, the transits are this and that. She always got it wrong. So I was like, this has got to be a bunch of bullshit. So now you explain to me the reality of what astrology is.
Full of shit. Amazing. God bless your friend. I'm sure she's
yes,
not.
Yes. She's a great girl.
Yes. So astrology is a really interesting thing that I love to kind of dive into. So let me answer your first question about how I differentiate, which is mm-hmm. to say that in a reading, I do not differentiate. If we are in that container, and I'd be happy for us to do that live one day. Okay. I do not differentiate because you were born as you at the time and date and in the location that you were born as you on purpose. And so whatever comes through, it's really going to be a combination of who were you born to be? Who are you currently being? And what's in the way of being who you were born to be?
Right.
Based on the time, date, and location of your birth. So what I was going to say is astrology is more than just your sun, right? It's more than just, so what's your sign?
I am Aquarius. I'm January 30th. I think it's okay. Aquarius. I don't follow any of that stuff. So I think I'm Aquarius.
Okay. You're correct. You are an Aquarius. Okay. I love an Aquarius. I have many Aquarians in my life. Who I adore. And of course you don't believe in astrology because you're an Aquarius. That's how that goes. You are more than just your sun. You are more than where the sun was at the time of your birth, which is in an Aquarius. There is also the moon and there is Mercury and Venus and Mars and Saturn and Jupiter and Uranus and Neptune and Pluto and all of the different things up there. Mm-hmm. And there is the houses based on your rising sign. So where was the sun coming up at the time of your birth in the world, in the sky? Mm-hmm. That determines your rising sign. And then all of the houses, the different parts of your life that are being affected. And then how does this planet speak to that planet in your chart? Is it a happy connection or is it an angry connection, right? Mm. And then you can go even deeper with the literal degrees of where each planet is put. So when you go into like all of that, yeah, you might miss something if you're playing up on the surface of just your sun, right? And so, I mean, I don't know what she's doing or what's going on, but there is a lot of depth to astrology, just like the universe, that, you know, you can go quite deep. And as a psychic, for me, when I'm doing a reading, there's no difference. I have to bring in that psychic into the astrology, into the reading, you know?
Because that's what I was going to say. The difference is that she doesn't have that other aspect. And by the way, she only learned how to do this during COVID, which also I was like, is that something you believe you can learn?
Of course it is. Yes. Okay. Definitely. I think, I mean, I study
astrology. Does use these charts for people and knows how to when you give her the information, there's all sorts of mathematical things she does. So mm-hmm. I guess it's not about intuition. There are real answers for real things.
Yeah, it is a science, okay. And you can learn it. What I love is that in 2020, there was this huge uptick of people who started, you know, studying Reiki and learning about right. intuition and learning astrology and starting to read tarot and all of these things. And I love that for them. And also, it's very dangerous when you don't have a good understanding of the energetics to just start reading others when you don't fully understand yourself.
Right.
And I studied astrology probably almost 15 years before I started giving readings.
Mm.
Because, and like allowing myself to call myself an astrologer, because there's a lot to know and there's a lot that people take on when they get an astrology reading and they start to look at life through a particular lens. You asked me earlier, and I said, I believe in free will.
Mm-hmm.
I think our ability to choose is the most important thing. Like our own sovereign decision-making is what will have us survive the next, however many years that humanity may or may not go on. Mm-hmm. And so as we kind of look to that future, we really need to like ascertain what's right for me, what's not right for me, what's good for me, what's not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you give somebody an astrology reading or any reading, tarot reading, anything, you make an impact on how they're going to make decisions on the things that they will or will not do as a sovereign, independent being. And so when you don't know that, you know, for example, like I know that I've had a lot of particular kinds of trauma. So therefore I attract those kinds of clients who've experienced those types of things. If I'm not mindful about how I am in my own energy field, it's likely that I'm going to put some of that on them and then have them show up in their life with my trauma, which is the opposite of what we want. In healing, we want them to heal and whole themselves, and I'm going to heal and whole myself, right? I go by Jana Stern Healer on all of the platforms because healing wouldn't fit on Instagram. Like, that's it. But I'm not a healer. I'm just a person who reflects something back to you in yourself because it exists in me and it exists in you. And so therefore you can move through it, but you got to be very careful. And there are many people who have just learned a new craft who are giving that craft to other people from a misinformation place. And I would highly recommend that they go and, you know, study with the folks over at Astrology Hub or, you know, dive into some of the experts who have been doing this, you know, for decades, because it's a millennia old tradition. So there is a lot to know about astrology, and we got to be very careful about, you know, not putting on new shoes and walking 10 miles in them because we might hurt our feet and step on others.
Yeah. I'm curious from an astrological standpoint, what are we going through right now as a collective? Like, is there something you're seeing?
Yeah, lots.
I stopped there because I couldn't think of how to like verbalize that question, but I think you got what I was trying
to. Oh, I got it, girl. Okay. I think, you know, definitely. So there have been some major transits. This year is a huge year astrologically. Every single planet except Pluto, which moved in 2024 at the end there, every single major planet, so all of the outer planets, that's Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, and not Pluto, but everybody else, they're all moving. They're all transiting into new signs. And the movement of those planets is changing a lot because we are highly affected. So when we look at astrology, it's important to look at it through an archetypal lens, meaning that every planet and every sign holds a particular archetype, holds a particular way of being. We are just humans, stories. That's all we are. We're just years and years and generations of stories. That's all we are. The archetypes of these planets and what they represent, so Jupiter, expansion, Saturn, boundaries, restriction, contraction. Uranus is aha moments, sudden strikes of interest, you know, technological advancements, Neptune, dreams, you know, creating new realities, fantasy, aliens. And then, well, I guess Uranus is also aliens too, but, and then Pluto, which is our collective karma, all of these planets moving into new signs means that we are collectively clearly going through an upgrade. And so, you know, where those planets are right in the now, Jupiter today is going to move into Cancer. So that's going to be a big expansion. He's going to be exalted there. So meaning he's like living his best life in Cancer. And we love that for humanity because we need that right now. We need some expansion. Cancer is the mother. It's the moon. It's the, you know, softness on the inside, but, you know, tough exterior. We need that. We need that kind of expansion. We've been very hard and regimented. Jupiter has been in Gemini. It was having a very hard time there. That's its detriment. That's its worst place to be. So now with this transit for the next year and a half, we get a little bit of reprieve, right?
Okay. Saturn, so you're saying it's going to look good for the next year and a half.
I think that where we will start, I mean, we're still going through it. We're still in the midst of something. I mean, if you've seen what's happening in California today, if you see what's going on pretty much all over the world, we're still in it. but I think that we'll start to move through it towards this time next year. We'll start to experience a little bit more lightness, a little bit less intensity, like we have been experiencing for the past, you know, 5.5, 6 years. And by 2027, I think we'll be in a different consciousness if we haven't blown ourselves to bits. So
hopefully not. Okay.
I don't think we will. I think we're going to get to the good. I think we're going to get to the good part, but first we got to go through the hard part. I always say this is like the birth canal. It's messy. It's ugly. It's sometimes has death in it, you know?
Right. And speaking of death, like, do you ever wrestle with the responsibility of your insights? Like, is there times when you look at somebody and you see death coming to them, or I don't even know how to verbalize that also, but are there things that you feel like you shouldn't tell them or you should, and it's scary?
So again, Spirit and I have a really good agreement. I don't want to see death. I don't want to know about it. If it's coming, it's coming. I do sometimes have, you know, intuitions that like, oh, that's not a good disease to get. That's not a good diagnosis. That's not a good sign. Like, oh, that ain't good. And then I just kind of like leave it. I'm actually quite fortunate. I have sort of the opposite gift. I can hear babies in utero and I can feel them before they arrive. And I have all of that kind of good. So that's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But you know, when it comes to sort of like warning signs and things on the horizon, I will check in with the people in my life and say, hey, are you okay? I had this thought. And usually they're sort of like, oh my God, thank God you reached out because I was just having a mental breakdown and like, I'm so glad that you're here. But I try to avoid being the bearer of bad news unless Spirit is incredibly, incredibly like assaulting me with it. Mm-hmm. And then usually I'll ask for permission. I'll be like, hey, I'm getting a message. Do you want it? It's not great. And sometimes people will say yes, and sometimes they'll say no, but usually like, I don't want to be the one to say this person is going to pass. And so Spirit and I have a really good agreement. I don't get a lot of those kinds of messages at me a lot of the time, which is, I'm grateful for that.
I have a question. Sure. We talked about fate earlier. I'm about to get married. Do you believe that we choose partners that we're supposed to be with, and do you believe in soulmates? And what kind of things spiritually should people be doing that think that they've found the right person to stay with the right person, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I think that we have many different soulmates in this lifetime. I think that the people who come into our lives, who make an impact on our lives, are soulmates. And I think that can be platonic. I think it can also be, you know, romantic. Right. But when I hear the question that you're really asking, which is, you know, don't be afraid to be vulnerable, to be real, to be raw, to say the thing that's hard, to open the part of you that is protecting that blind spot, but also keeps veering into it. You know, if you've had experiences where, you know, and I know that you have, that you've had, you know, loss, that you've had betrayal, that you've had, you know, those kinds of experiences, you're going to keep coming, they're going to keep coming up. And so mm-hmm. in this partnership, you have an opportunity now to really look at why have those things happened, and not in a why me kind of way, but in a, what is this for my greatest good? What is this for my highest self? What's mm-hmm. coming up that I actually can evolve in all of humanity through my experience, right?
Okay, wait, stop there and say that again, because I feel like I've heard this a couple of times from people, and I think the listeners should really hear this and apply them to themselves. Mm. To expand what you're saying, it's like we have these patterns or these traumas that we have, and they're not going to go away with whoever we choose as a partner or whatever we choose to do in life. And sometimes it becomes a pattern and we continue this, whether it's in different lives or mm-hmm. the feelings of that experience keep coming up in different ways throughout life, relationships, work, whatever it is, but it's those same things, loss, betrayal for me, let's say. Yes. So go on with what you're saying, because I feel like that's an important thing for people to really identify with for a second. How, I guess, is my question, how, first of all, is there a way to break that cycle, or will it continue? Yes. Okay.
Yes, there is a way to break it. It certainly helps to have a partner who's willing to break it with you and mm-hmm. let you be vulnerable and be, as a woman, be soft, you know, be receptive, you know, and have him be the sort of strong provider and protector. That can be very, very helpful in helping those cycles to break. Mm-hmm. So I'll just leave that there. Yes, you can break those cycles within yourself when you spend time observing what are those habits and where do they stem from? What's the root of the seed of the root, right? Where does that begin? And so probably the answer is 9 times, 10 times out of 10, it's like in your childhood, something mm-hmm. that mom or dad did or didn't do, something that happened that affected you in a particular way, ways that you were abandoned, ways that you were, you know, betrayed by your family, that you continue to play out. Because the thing about karma, which is what we're talking about, mm-hmm. we all collectively have karma, which is why Pluto does what it does. And it's starting to affect us in a beautiful way now that it's fully, you know, in Aquarius and experiencing this Aquarian energy, which you will feel for the next 20 years, whether you believe it or not. so as it does, we have this opportunity to really clear out. So Aquarius is about two things: community and supporting the greater good, everybody's best, highest good. Mm-hmm. And kind of maybe not so much like the adage is Aquarians love humanity, but kind of hate humans.
Sounds about right.
Right. And then also this idea, this concept of transhumanism. What does it mean to be human? And like, isn't that the question with AI on the rise, right? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be real? What does a real human connection feel like? How can we ascertain what is make believe in front of us and what is real within us? And so, and within each other. Mm-hmm. And so tapping into what's real for you karmically. Oh, I've experienced abandonment over and over and over and over and over again. The first time my father was hospitalized, I was 3. Mm-hmm. My parents divorced when I was 4. Then my mom remarried and suddenly I had 2 older brothers and I was 5, right? Or I was 6 when they got married. So I was very, very, very young, and I was the only girl, and I was wild, and I had all these thoughts, and I was very emotional, and there was a lot. Mm. And so how I show up, and then of course I had a whole lifetime of other experiences and traumas and things that happened to women and so on and so forth. So mm-hmm. how I relate to men, to relationships, to friends, to everybody plays out through that. Now, mm. how I rewrite it, like when I was younger, the story was, I don't have sisters. I can't get women. I have guy friends. You know, that's what I do. And then over time, I let myself be vulnerable with my girlfriends. Well, now my girlfriends are the greatest thing that I've ever had in my life. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I've rewritten that story. I also had the story of psychosis. Now I've rewritten that story, but it's taken time and a lot of observation of self. And the best way to do that is through meditation. So like sitting with yourself for 11 minutes a day, it's enough to change your brain chemistry. Go Joe Dispenza yourself. Those are his stats, not mine. 11 minutes a day of just quietly observing your thoughts, not trying to silence them, not trying to change them, but literally watching them like they're floating on the river and being like, yep, there's that annoying thought that I hate so much. Oh, there's my mother. I know her. Yeah, there's my boyfriend. There's my fiance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, there's that thing at work again. Cool. Right. And just noticing it, really just watching it as it goes and being the observer for 11 minutes. Then you'll be able to say, in my observation of myself, what I know of me is fill in the blank to your partner. And your partner, who theoretically is also doing that work, can say, ah, well, what I know about you is this. I'm experiencing this other thing. And that kind of feels like that thing. So how can we shift these things together? It's work. But this is the work of humanity right now. This is the work of divine partnership. This is the work of soulmates. This is the work of, some people would call it twin flames, which I don't even like to say. And it's also the work of friends, true friends, real friends, the people worth keeping in your life. It's also the work of, you know, the people that you work with. How can you relate to them on that level of like, I'm really today feeling the overwhelm of what it is to be Rachel. And yeah. I actually just need to like let myself rest, or I need to let myself do what I need to do today. Can you hold me in that? Can you support me in it? Right. Or I'm trying to correct this thing about myself that actually makes me not like me that much.
Right.
So
right.
Can you point it out to me? Show me my own red flags. I can't see them. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're so fascinating. And obviously we could talk for hours on so many different subjects. I love what you talked about at the beginning, that you help people see what's in their blind spots, bring it to the forefront, and let them figure it out how to fix it, I guess. I definitely think that people should get a hold of you and hire you, because everybody is going to be curious about that, want to know what's in their blind spots that they don't even know what's, you know, preventing them from maybe getting through the first act and moving into the second act, or whatever these things are for them. So I definitely hope that our listeners will reach out to you. I'm going to ask you in a minute how they can do that. But I guess my last question for you is, what is your personal mission right now as a healer, a guide, a voice in this spiritual world? What would you say is your personal mission?
Open my mouth more, I think. I got a lot to share and a lot to say. And I really want, you know, my mission is to help people to recognize their own power, to wake up to it, you know, to tap in with the parts of us that are ancient, that have been forgotten, that have been shut down, that have been, you know, pushed aside or numbed or what have you. I really want to help humanity to arrive at the future that looks utopian and not dystopian, you know, where we don't live in such lack, where communities actually support one another, not in a performative way and not in a this one but not that one kind of way, but really with real care and love and appreciation for one another, where everybody kind of brings something to the table and whatever you bring is enough because everybody has enough.
Right.
I want to get there. And I want to do it on a one-on-one basis. And I want to do it in huge group settings and keep, you know, I'm fortunate to have guided many meditations and events and things like that in my life. And I want to keep doing more and more and more of them and just, yeah, travel the world, spreading love and light and goodness, because we need a lot more of it on this planet.
We sure do. And I guess now that you're saying that, I do have one more question. If you could offer the collective one piece of energetic advice right now, what would it be?
Oh my God. Protect yourself, cleanse yourself, figure out where your energy ends, and do not engage with absolutely anything that will lower your vibration. Take Epsom salt baths, eat healthy, you know, protect the energetic force field of your aura, smudge, burn incense, burn candles, do all of the things that feel like they're right for you, and learn to trust your intuitive self, because as AI does come into our world more and more and more and more, and so do, like, people will actually start to get sucked into that dimension in a way that you might not want to engage with them. Mm-hmm. So protect yourself. Really get clear on where your energy stops so that you can feel when something comes into your field that you do not want to engage with. Mm-hmm. Because that discernment is your power. That is how you survive the next 20, 30, 40, 60, however many years of our lives there are to come, is with that discernment, with that own, you know, knowing of you and then everything outside of you. And you cannot do it if you are not fortified. You have to learn energetic hygiene. Have to, especially if you're a practitioner, but even if you're not, like, it doesn't matter. Don't talk to that person who makes you feel like shit. Don't watch that video of somebody, you know, don't watch that Netflix of murderers. Don't do those things to yourself. They lower your frequency, your ability to be resilient to the things that actually are not good for you. Mm. And figure it out for yourself. Maybe some people can handle those things. Maybe some people can't. Most of us probably can't, but I'm going to leave that one alone. Just, yeah. Boundary up, babes.
Boundary up. I love it. Mm. Jana Stern, tell people where they can reach you and find out more about you.
Definitely. So I have a program. It's called The Resilience Revolution. It is 90 days to change your whole life. You get 6 one-on-ones and a group session. That group is beautiful. We talk about all kinds of different things. I teach on all kinds of different subjects. As you can hear from today's conversation, I have a lot of knowledge on mm-hmm. a lot of different things. So I talk about a lot of different things in that group container. So you can hit me up for that. On all socials, it's at Jana Stern Healer. And you can find me there. You can go to janastern.com. Probably by the time this goes out, that relaunch of my website will be relaunched. So that'll be exciting. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. I guess we'll have to have you on to do something different, maybe a live reading or, you know, a card reading or something. Those are so fun. You know, incidentally, I'll just tell you that when I was younger, and I probably still have them in my house, you know, I bought a pack of cards. I think you can buy them on Amazon, right?
Sure.
And then you could flip these cards around and they're so fun, but they mean nothing unless you know how to read them. And then, you know, it could be dangerous, I'm assuming, if you just make shit up. But when I was younger, you know, girls in college, and I would sit there and turn over the cards and just pretend we were reading for each other. It would be really fun to get a real reading and know what it means.
I would love to do that for you. That'd be super fun. Let's do
it. That would be really, really fun. Cool. Okay, Jana, it was such a pleasure. We will talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Understood.